This next piece on radio3uk.org was inspired by a tweet I saw. Unfortunately, I don't have the original reference, but it contrasted the reporting style of the Americans and the UK, particularly regarding a story based on documents supposedly leaked by Edward Snowden, who's now in hiding in Russia. He took many thousand documents, encrypted on a memory stick, and leaked them to certain reporters. It's always been claimed that he handed over all the documents and the memory sticks, and the data was destroyed. He then fled and ended up in Russia. His passport was cancelled, so he hasn't been able to leave since. He's always denied that he had any secret documents with him. However, the Sunday Times has reported that certain documents that Snowden is said to have taken have been decrypted by the Chinese and the Russians, and that the British security services have had to relocate some agents as a precaution. This story was further reported by the BBC and by CNN. Here we compare how credulous the BBC reporting is as compared to that of the Americans. First, we have a 4-minute interview by CNN with the journalist from the Sunday Times who originally broke the story.
Tom Harper, he is the home affairs correspondent for the Sunday Times who is reporting this story. And Tom joins us now live. Tom, thank you for being with us. Just want to dive a little deeper into the nature of your reporting. You name unnamed sources. How do senior officials at number 10 Downing Street know that these files were breached?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, George. All we know is that this is effectively the official position of the British government. We picked up on it a while ago, and we've been working on it and trying to stand it up through multiple sources. And when we approached the British government late last week with our evidence, they confirmed effectively what you read today in the Sunday Times. So it's obviously allegations at the moment from our point of view, and it's really for the British government to defend it.
Well, I do have to ask, though, just in understanding the nature of what's in the files, how do they know what was in them if they were encrypted? Has the British government also gotten into these files?
Well, I mean, the files came from America and the UK, so they may already have known for some time what Snowden took. Again, that's not something that we're clear on, so we don't go into that level of detail in the story. We just publish what we believe to be the position of the British government at the moment.
Your article asserts that it is not clear if the files were hacked or if Snowden gave these files over when he was in Hong Kong and Russia. So which is it?
Well, again, sorry to just repeat myself, George, but we don't know, so we haven't written that in the paper. You know, it could be either. It could be another scenario. When you're dealing with the world of intelligence, there are so many unknowns and so many possibilities. It's difficult to state anything with certainty. And so we've been very careful just to stick to what we are able to substantiate.
So we're just really hearing, you know, what the British government is saying at this point. The article mentions these MI6 agents. Were they directly under threat as a result of the information leaked, or was it just a precautionary measure to move them?
Again, I'm afraid to disappoint you. We don't know. I mean, there was a suggestion that some of them may have been under threat. But the statement from senior Downing Street sources suggests that no one has come to any harm, which is obviously a positive thing from the point of view of the West.
So essentially, you're reporting what the government is saying, but as far as the evidence, you know, to substantiate it, you're not really able to comment or to explain that at this point, right?
No. I mean, we picked up on the story a while back from an extremely well-placed source in the Home Office, and then carried on trying to substantiate what was going on through various sources in various agencies throughout Britain, and then finally presented the story to the government, and they effectively confirmed what you read in today's Sunday Times. But obviously, when you're dealing with intelligence, you know, it's the toughest nut to crack, and unless you actually have leaked intelligence documents like Snowden had, it's very difficult to say anything with certainty.
Tom Harper with the Sunday Times joining us live in London. Tom, thank you so much for your time and explaining the report that has been filed there in the Sunday Times.
Without wanting to bias you, I think you'll have to agree that there doesn't seem to be much to the story. However, let's see how BBC4's flagship radio show, Radio 4 Today, and their journalists covered this story.
That it's the kind of reporting that has single-handedly destroyed the credibility of journalism around the world. All this story is are people inside the government who have an obvious interest in smearing Edward Snowden. They don't have the courage to put their names on these allegations, so they remain anonymous. There's zero evidence for them. There's all kinds of reasons to believe they're not true. It's not journalism. It's just acting as subservient stenographers for the government.
One of the things they suggest is that there are documents that Edward Snowden had in his possession when he went to Russia, and they make the suggestion that those documents might now be in the hands of Putin or his intelligence services. And if that is true, then it would be legitimately worrying, wouldn't it?
There's no evidence for the claims that the Sunday Times has made. And I think the critical point to note is that the key point, which is that Snowden had documents while he was in Moscow, was made through an absolute lie. They said that when my partner David Miranda was detained at Heathrow, he was found with numerous classified documents and had just come from meeting with Snowden in Moscow. In fact, David Miranda had never met with Snowden in Moscow when he was detained. He had never been to Moscow. And the Sunday Times has now quietly deleted that lie from its article. There's zero evidence that Snowden even had documents when he went to Russia, and he has repeatedly said that he doesn't, that he hadn't.
But surely the assumption would be that he would have kept the documents with him when he went. That's a reasonable assumption to make, and that if he did take those documents, it's possible that they've been hacked.
Snowden told me before he left for Hong Kong, that he had intended to destroy the set. He has said publicly many times that he gave all of the copies that he had to journalists, and he purposely didn't take any when he traveled because he didn't want it to be vulnerable to being hacked. Again, you keep saying it's possible, isn't it? Everything is possible, but that's not journalism.
It is reasonable, isn't it, though, that if a person is given the ability to live in Russia, protected by Russia, that there is something that Vladimir Putin is going to be getting out of it?
The United States and the British governments give asylum to thousands of people all of the time, including to Russians who are accused of committing crimes back home. And their argument is, well, the reason we do it is because we want to protect people from persecution at home. That's the same reason that Vladimir Putin gives for giving asylum to Snowden. Now, if you're a Westerner, you could say, when my government says it, it's true. But when those bad governments say it, it's not true.
Well, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say, isn't it? I mean, you're not suggesting that President Putin's government is on a par in its support of democracy and human rights with the United States of Britain, or are you?
Pretty sure that it wasn't Russia that invaded and destroyed a country of 26 million people called Iraq, or set up a worldwide torture regime around the world to torture people in secret or put people in indefinite detention camps in the middle of the ocean called Guantanamo. So I think it would be incredibly naive for some Westerner to say, my side is really good. It's Vladimir Putin's side that's the bad side. I have no doubt that Vladimir Putin gets propaganda value by giving asylum to Snowden by being able to say we're protecting him. But I also have no doubt that Snowden would be persecuted with decades in prison if he went back to the United States for having done nothing wrong. And that's what asylum exists for.
Finally, on just the wider point about the Edward Snowden impact, if I can put it like that, around the world. And it's been very much in the news recently. And you've seen the changes in law in the United States and a big discussion about it in Britain. And a lot of people saying, whatever you think of Edward Snowden, he has drawn people's attention to something that needed to have its attention drawn to it. But, you know, the other side of that ledger, it would be reasonable to assume, wouldn't it, is that he has given away secrets that have been useful to people who want to do harm to other perfectly innocent people. I just wonder if you accept that those are the two sides of it, and that's what we've all got to live with.
No, I think you just made that up, what you just said. Edward Snowden has not given any documents or any information to anybody except through journalists with major media organizations. So if the New York Times or the Guardian or the Washington Post has published a story that you think shouldn't have been published, your quarrel is with them. Edward Snowden didn't disclose any documents. He went to journalists and gave the documents to the journalists and said, I want you to work in order to find the ones in the public interest that the public ought to know. And I think the question that you asked is actually the key point, which is just a month ago, a U.S. court said that the NSA program we revealed at The Guardian was illegal. The U.S. Congress 2 weeks ago passed a law saying that one of the programs, the key one, should end. There's been a huge shift in media narrative to a pro-Snowden sentiment, saying, you know what, originally I thought he was a traitor, but now I see that actually what he did was quite important and quite noble. And right as that pro-Snowden narrative shifts, up pops anonymous, unnamed cowards inside the British government to smear him with these evidence-free claims. And I think that's really the story.
Again, without wanting to bias you, I think you've got to agree that the BBC don't stand up too well here. They seem rather credulous of government claims when we've already heard that the original reporter had no backup evidence to it at all. He was just fed the story and the BBC hammer away.